So I just actually thought that we was all need to find some special day just to honor each one. Like there's a Mother's Day and a Father's Day, and somewhere they have a sibling day, and maybe a student day, and a working day, and everything. Because each one of us, there's something special inside of us. There's something that we bring, something that someone can celebrate. Mother's Day, we celebrate the mothers today because they're doing amazing work. But I don't want you just to switch off, because each one got something that can be celebrated. And often we don't feel like that. Often it's just we just went through like a war, get beaten up from all sides. And you're just a bit injured. You're walking with a limp almost. I injured my ankle a little bit in the mountain yesterday. So, just got your wheel balance is a little bit out. Dave will just laugh. I've been to him. But the other injury is fine again. So, they say there was a mother, Vasilyev of Russia. She gave birth to 69 children between 1925 and 1725 and 1765. So that's 69 children in 40 years. She must have been very busy. The busiest. So they also reckon, the study that I read, the busiest phone day in the world is Mother's Day, where 68% of all people phone their mothers. So that's a lot of phone calls. And another study, they say the diaper changes, the nappy changes that the mother makes before their child's second birthday is 7,300. But I don't know, we talked about it last night. I think it's more 3,700. It's definitely a few thousand. Because when the babies are small, they just go through nappies. It's like, it's crazy. For you that must still look forward to that, it's something that's coming. Another study said the diaper changing speed, the average speed of a mom that can change a nappy is 2 minutes and 5 seconds. I don't know how they got their data. The men is about 1 minute 37 seconds. But they said that adds up to 3 40-hour work weeks each year. So for 3 weeks of each year, a mother is basically changing nappies. Out of her 52 weeks. So that's really something too. Something amazing. Laundry, 88% is done by moms. This study said it's 330 loads of laundry, 5,300 articles of clothing every year. It's a lot of washing. It's a lot of water. So that's just some of the stats that the guys pull. But we know from Deuteronomy, where God just come and he just say in the Ten Commandments, he say, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you. And then it's this amazing, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The days may be long, that it will go well with you. Things that we really want to see, things that we want to have, a good life, a long life, that it will go well. And it's just tied to this connection of fathers and mothers. And later we've seen it actually in another place, just Moses coming to the Israelites, and he put it in a different order. And they say, God is holy, and he's your God. And then immediately after that, he say, honor your fathers and your mothers. And that's just the importance that God has put out for us today. And afterwards, you'll have the opportunity to SMS your mom or WhatsApp her or phone her. If she's not available, it's not here, or maybe just bless another mother. Because all the mothers, and those of you that's here, you will know there's so much responsibility. There's so many things that you've got to think about and just plan for. I just know, in our house for the next day, every evening there's a lot of planning, a lot of things to put in place, a lot of everything must be ready because there's not enough time in the morning. And sometimes we take it for granted. We're just in the house and the things gets done. And even when I grew up, I know we were delivering papers, waking up 4:45 every morning. My mother set an alarm just in case we overslept. So every morning, 10:05, she will stand up and just check. Me and my brother, we're up, we're ready, getting the papers, and then she went to bed again. She just wanted to check. I said, no, it's not necessary. But there was two occasions. She really bailed us out. We missed it. But she made it her responsibility to every day just to check. Did the boys go out? We know the story about the fishes and the bread and the boy that comes there and Jesus wants to feed the thousands. And then the little boy come. And Pastor Fred in the encounter 2 was the first time I heard it, where he just said that there was actually a mother at home packing lunch for a boy that thought he's going to go out the whole day. He's going to stand there. He's following Jesus. There's the crowds. And she's going to give him something to eat. And it's actually she that started the miracle. She did something for sowing the seed for the miracle to happen that day. And we usually just take it from the little boy and just continue with that. And also, just if you look at all the studies of early child development, the more mother and a child can be together, the better. The more they can be together, they can see each other. It's not always possible. We obviously live in a broken world. But then we pray for God to change situations. But just from the, I'm just going to, just a study, the one expert says that the relationships between a young child forges with his mother forms the foundation stone of personality. Regular and prolonged detachment from the mother can demonstrate impaired child's intellectual and emotional development. So the more, the one expert say, the more love grows the brain. He just say, more love, better brain. For him, that was just from his studies and his stats and everything. So it's just amazing how God has put this in place. And there's another, Connie Marshner, he said, the quality of life and care that a child receives in the first 3 to 5 years of life is the main factor in whether that child will be able to think, learn, love, care, cooperate with other people. Whether the child will just flourish. There's so much there. And today I don't want, if it's not like this in your house, if you don't seeing it like this, or you know of people that struggle with this, where there's been broken relationships, then we stand in faith, and as a church, as a community, we help one another. These are just the facts to say how God made it, and how beautiful it is, and how amazing it is, and the blessing that is there. But I've been in Delft for just over a year, and I've just seen there, just through children interaction at Sunday school or kiddies church, how they started to change. Just showing them love. There's now a little boy, he's playing the beatbox in Delft, and they're doing their own worship. And when they go home, there's not really a place to go home to. Church is that place for them, where we come together and where there's some sense of community. But again, God is there, and we must trust God to turn situations around. Because if there's a situation that we can't trust God for, then God has died for everything in this world. He can bring life into any situation. And that's what we stand for. So today we just, it's almost stating the obvious how important mothers are to us and their role in the services. They keep the house going. But often there's a mother may feel like an invisible mom. There's so many things happening, and it's not like someone is saying thank you all the time. It's not like there's someone saying thank you for this. I remember when the kids was very small, I sleep very well. So sometimes they say you sleep like a baby, or some people say rather sleep like the dad. So I will wake up in the morning and say, how was the night? Is it a good night? And then it's not like that anymore. I'm now more on it. But sometimes you wake up and then Lee will say she woke up 4, 5 times, 6 times. And for her, it's not so easy. I can just wake up, go to bed, sleep, wake up again, sleep. It's easy to fall asleep. Some people, you will know that you wake up and then you're still going on and your brain is active and now you're thinking about a lot of things. I just decide, okay, shut down. So, and then you just realize there's so many things that happen during the night. It's almost all those invisible things. So many things that mothers are doing. And they talk about this invisible mom, where somebody that wrote it, and they actually started with a book. The woman received a book about cathedrals of the world. And then she looked at all these cathedrals, and she looked at the people building these cathedrals, and she noticed 4 facts. She noticed that no one can say who built the great cathedrals. They didn't record the actual names of everybody that built these cathedrals, the builders. Usually there will just be a designer or an architect, but not the actual guys building, doing the work. And some of those guys, they gave their whole lives for those work. It continued for years and years. And then she realized that they made great sacrifices. They expected nothing in return. They were just doing this, building these cathedrals. And the passion of their work was just in seeing what is being created in front of them. That was what they worked for. And there's a story in that book of a guy that came to one of the builders, and he was just making a little bird on the inside of one of the pillars. And a guy asked him, so why are you making this little bird? No one is going to see it. They're going to put a roof on this place. No one will even know that you've done this. And as the story goes, the guy just said, but God sees. He knows what I'm doing. He knows the little birdie that I made there. It is just visible to God. And that's just the encouragement that I realized that there's so many invisible things, especially that mothers are doing. So many things that no one is saying thank you for. No one is coming behind you and just checking if you're okay. Life just goes on. Life is just running fast. And often we can feel like an invisible mom just doing all these things. But the beauty of that is you're actually also building this cathedral, investing into lives. Where we can't see the fruit of it right now, but we can trust and believe that one day these children will become mighty men and women of God. And that's an investment. And maybe we're not getting all the thank yous. So today I'm just saying thank you and saying that God sees the work that you are doing. And one day it's very possible that the world will marvel at something that your children is going to do. Where they do something amazing, or where they bless someone, or doing a good thing for someone. There's not going to be someone that's saying, okay, yeah, but that honor must actually go back to the mother or the parents. But that is some encouragement that we can know that what we've planted in them, that what we've invested in them, there's dividends, but we might not see it. It's going to happen. And I was just reminded about a scripture in 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. So God is just looking throughout the world. And he shows support. Some other translation, to show himself strong on behalf of those who trust in him. And that's for everyone. Sometimes we will feel lonely in what we do. We feel lonely in doing the right things. We feel lonely and just continuing doing the right thing. It gets difficult. It's not a crowded road. But God is looking. He is constantly looking. He's constantly aware of what we are doing. And He's the one that's seeing our efforts. And that's for each one of us. God is really the one that sees what we do. The other side is also true. What we do in secret, it's out in public. It's there for everyone. And just one thing that just stood out to me when Jesus was on the cross. He was there and he went through all the words that he said. And then he looked and he saw his mother in John 19:26. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. That is just like in all, everything that was going on there, everything, Jesus saw his mother and his disciple, and he just made a connection, and she was taken care of. And that's just something beautiful that just happened there, in the midst of all the other amazing things that happened on the cross, where this, the mother was just sorted out, and then the process continued. And for me, it's just something, just a glimpse of God's heart towards mothers, but also towards people, towards each one of us. It's as if, for myself, I just take encouragement out of that, to just know that God is just, He's just watching. He's just so aware of everything that's going on in my life, everything that I trust Him for, the battles that we fight. And in any moment, there can be some intervention. I've mentioned it before, I think, yeah, but I live one of the, I don't know if it's a value or whatever, of a rule or just the hope, but I just know that any moment there can be an intervention of God and things can just change. And lots of my testimonies are like that, where, things were not looking good. I was just holding on to God. That's it. The goodness of God. That was the only thing I could hold on to, and then suddenly intervention came and things just changed. It was just, everything was different, literally within a day. I often tell guys looking for a wife, it can also happen in a day. So then they get some encouragement if they say, I'm going to get a wife and everything. Man, you can just walk, you see, ta-ta-ta, done. It can be simple, can be a little bit more complicated, but it's possible. And yes, I'm interrupting myself. With the whole Mother's Day and everything, when Ann Jarvis, she was so passionate about it is just a day to honor mothers. And then she realized that they commercializing the whole thing, and Hallmark started selling cards since 1920. They started selling Mother's Day cards. And she saw herself as the founder of Mother's Day, and she just went down and they said she interrupt some of the companies, and she just tried to get them out of the way, to stop them from commercializing the whole thing and distracting it from what's really important. It was just an ad break there in the middle. So just again, that Ephesians 6, it quotes again from the Ten Commandments. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I must just drill this into my children. It's the right thing, obey mommy and daddy. It's one of the family rules on the wall. It's respect, stewardship, obey mommy and daddy, and a time for everything. Those are our four family rules in our house. So, obey mommy and daddy is one that's really under pressure at the moment. But it's okay. And then, honor your father and your mother. Again, this that it may go well with you. There's an old Jewish slogan or saying that they had, God cannot be everywhere, so he made mothers. And that is just, well, that is something that I say. For me, it's just like a mother's, they're just the extension of God's hand. The extension of the love of God. Because when a mother, when you guys stand up at night, there's a baby crying, you don't really, my first reaction is not that, oh, cute baby, cutie, baby is the best, I love baby so much. Sometimes it's man, but you still go. And that is just doing those things that's still love in action. That's still pressing through. That's still, going the second mile and doing something. Because you don't always feel like doing it. Maybe it's a surprise for some of you, but you'll get there. And if we look at Timothy's life, I just quickly want to read off 2 Timothy 3 verse 10. When Paul wrote to Timothy, the amazing, this is words to say, you are ever have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my persecution, suffering. And then he said, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil people and imposers will go on from bad to worse, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through the faith in Jesus Christ. And it's just that part that I just want to highlight, where Paul's writing to Timothy and saying, continue in what you have learned. Continue in the things that you've learned in your house from your parents. And a firmly belief, knowing from whom you learned it. And that just speaks about his mother and his grandmother. I'll get it. It's in 2 Timothy 1 verse 5, where it actually says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Louise and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure it dwells in you as well. So Paul has already made that connection of faith that Timothy got from his mother and from his grandmother. And they say, remember the things that you've been learned, that you've been taught in your house. Remember those sacred writings. And remember the people that it comes from. So the amazing thing, he made that connection. He actually looked at their lives and at their conduct and say, you can trust in them. You can trust what they taught you. Because see who they are. See the lives that they live. And that's really a challenge for us, that he put that in front of Timothy and say, you can look at these people that taught you, you can look at their lives, how they conducted their lives, and you can take courage out of that, that the things they taught you is true. And hold on to this. This is gonna help you. And also, if we look at in Acts 16, just something about Timothy, where they just wrote, a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. So in his house, his mother was the one doing all the teaching, and his grandmother. And it didn't set him back. It was just, his dad was a Greek, but his mother was the Jewish mother, the one that giving all the instructions. And she was through her conduct doing all the teachings. And he was a product of a home of a believing mother and maybe an unbelieving father. We're not sure, but it was possible. But still, Timothy was there. He was the partner of Paul, and he did amazing things. And just another encouragement. Where a situation where God can just turn it around. And he just make it work for the good. And I just also want to read out of 1 Peter 3 verse 5. Because something just for mothers, it's really, there's a hope in God. There's a hope in God. There's something that we can just hold on to God. You don't know what's going to happen next. We don't know. It's also actually for parents. You cannot say everything is going to work out like this. I know I pray every day just for the protection of my house and my children and everything. And even now on when we were camping, Lucy pushed a pram over a drop, a small cliff or something. Not so high, it's about, I don't know, a normal roof. But when I heard the calling, she was stuck there behind the bush, over the edge, and the pram was hovering over the river, stuck in another branch of a thorn tree. So it was, if she was a little bit to the, either way, she would have missed that little bush, and I think she would have gone into the thorn bush and then maybe into the river. And we were in the tent, and I just realized that is just God's hand on our house, on our family. And so I'm just praying for protection. If I maybe forget other things, but we serve for Almighty God. And it's real, these things are real. But there's so many uncertainties. There's so many, we can get very depressed on the one side, think, what about this, what about this, what about this? Or we can really put our trust in God and our hope in God and pray and trust in Him. And then live by faith and live in the hope of God. There's the Bible in 1 Peter 3, where it starts, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Now, a gentle and a quiet spirit doesn't really come by default. And your child can quickly show you that he's still working on that. Right? Something is just different. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, love your wives in an understanding way. And I just want to go back to that 1 Peter 3 verse 5, to talk about the holy women who hoped in God. They set their attention, it's almost like they set their attention on the sovereignty of God, this Almighty, and on the love of God. Because the things that are in our hearts, it's pride and it's fear. That is stuff that's always there. That's stuff that's present. And then we need the love of God to displace the fear. We need to realize that there's the sovereignty of God, that He's in charge. And it's often we want to do things our way. This might just have our prideful nature. We want to do it this way or that way. And even and us in the house, often we've tried many things and then we decided, okay, let's pray over this thing and ask God and He will show us a way, and then it just works much better. Not always, sometimes really something different, something extraordinary, something out of the box. But just the way of God, if you know that way, then that's always working. That's what's standing. And that's what's going to pull us through. And really to have this gentle and quiet spirit. I just feel to get to that place of a gentle and quiet spirit, some of the keys is just to know that the love of God is there and the sovereignty of God, it's there. A place where we can have peace in our hearts, knowing God is in control. And from that place we can operate, and then we can be this holy woman of God with our hope set in God. Today, lastly, I'm just going to, actually just for the men, there's something that I've mentioned at Clinton and John's wedding day. The Bible says, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. And just specifically, we're talking about Mother's Day and these things. It's just something that love of God, the love for the wife, the love that God is talking about, it's unconditional love. It's not like the woman must, or our wives must first do a lot of things, and then we must love them. It's really unconditional love. And that's a place where, within that love, that your wife, the mother of your children, that's where they can flourish, where they can just be themselves. And that's actually what I just want to, on the side, just put out to us as men, to love our wives. And something that I've been thinking about the last while is just to be a one-woman man. That there's one woman that you give your heart to. There's one woman that you fight for, where your attention is on one woman. We all know the distractions of this world and the magazines and the internet and everything. It's coming for a heart. It's coming for a piece of our heart. And there's different things portrayed for us. So the challenge is to be that one woman man, where there's something that our princess that we fight for, the woman that we love, someone that we cherish. And then obviously the challenge is that she will feel loved. Sometimes we do a lot of things, we think it's amazing, but they might not feel loved. We must do the right things. Okay, and maybe we must just ask, what is the right thing to do? Not always so natural. That gadget that works for me doesn't work for Lee. And where one is gifts and the other one is just want to spend time together, just want to drink coffee at the coffee shop, just have flowers. This flowers is this amazing thing that the woman loves flowers so much. A guy tried to explain it to me one day. He said, it's like someone giving you a rugby ticket for a Springbok game. He said, that's almost like a girl receiving flowers. So I couldn't believe it. But it's just amazing. It works for them. So that's great. I'm just going to end off. Today is really about honoring mothers, but also it goes beyond that, just in honoring people. Because we get familiar with one another. Even though sometimes something starts out as a privilege and later we claim it as a right. Now it must happen. And also with people, and we get familiar with someone. You say, no, now it's just common and there's no respect. And I actually just want to put it out for all of us that we will really honor one another, that we will see the blessing inside of each one, because each one comes with a gift, each one comes with something special. And not only on Mother's Day, but that we will use opportunities to say thank you, to honor one another, almost to show love, to show God's love in our community where we are. And that's maybe where they will say that they will look of the people will look at this community, and they will see that they've loved that they love Jesus. The love of Jesus is there among them. So I'm gonna show you another movie clip, and then after that, I would just like to. We just want to pray for the mothers. So if you don't mind, you can just we will just group around the mothers and just pray for you guys and just bless you. Also thank you and just honoring you. And then after that you can take out your phones and SMS or phone your own mother if you haven't done so already.